Welcome to Reflection Time, the program that looks at world events and everyday issues through the eyes of the scriptures, and as well shares with you some inspirational music. Welcome to Reflection Time. We're glad that you've joined into the program today. On our program, we're looking at some of the world events that have transpired in 2011, which they've been numerous. But we want to look at some of the events that we never overlooked, but events that we never had time to really discuss. But before we do that, I want to share with you a selection from Bruce Moss entitled Magnify Thy Law.
This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. For whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. Thus says the word of the Lord. Magnify thy law, O Lord. Magnify thy word. Magnify my heart, O God. Let your voice be heard. Speak to me in the silence, Lord, so that I may come to know the love and grace you have for me and the way that I must go. Your law is a lamp unto my feet. Your love is the peace within my soul. Your grace is all I'll ever need. You are my rock, my hope, my all. Everything I am I owe to you. With all that I have I will offer you praise. Teach me how to worship you in truth. Open my eyes, open my eyes, show me the way.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them.
Magnify thy law, O Lord, magnify thy word. Magnify my heart, O God. Let your voice be heard. Speak to me with tender words, so that I may understand, and I will worship you in love and truth. keeping all that you command. Your law is a lamp unto my feet. Your love is a peace within my soul. Your grace is all I'll ever need. You are my rock, my hope, my all. Everything I am I owe to you. With all that I have I will offer you praise. Teach me how to worship you in truth. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. Show me the your laws upon my heart and put them in my mind, that I may do your will today, and that I will always find. Your law is a lamp unto my feet. Your love is a peace within my soul. Your grace is all I'll ever need. You are my rock, my hope, my all. Everything I am I owe to you. With all that I have I will offer you praise. Teach me how to worship you in truth. Open my eyes. Thank you, Jesus.
And that was Bruce Moss with Magnify Thy Law. In our discussion last week, we were looking at some of the world events that have been taking place since the start of 2011, and there's been an awful lot to report on. Mm-hmm. A lot of changes have been taking place in the world. But there's something I just want to start with, Mario, and it's an interesting clip I heard on the on actually CBC this week on the radio. They're having a discussion looking at possible future missions to Mars and hurdles that they would have to overcome. And one of the interesting statements that they said, and this kind of ties in well with our health lifelines that mm-hmm. we usually play with each episode. But they were saying that the astronauts that are to participate in such a mission would have to eat a vegetarian diet.
And, oh, interesting.
That's quite interesting because you would think that, you know, if the world propagates the ideas that, you know, you have to eat a meat-based diet because of health or protein needs or whatever that they say about that to uplift a meat diet. They're saying that the only way they could sustain astronauts would be on a vegetarian diet, and that would be healthy enough for them. So I just find that interesting that if that's suitable for, you know, astronauts, you know, traveling to far off locations, that diet must be suitable for us here on Earth as well.
Yeah, and I think we talked before about how to deal with some of the issues in the world about these pollutions. We know a cow, for instance, produce more methane gas than a car over a year in terms of pollution. Mm-hmm. And we know that I just heard recently that the meat consumption has gone up by 50% mm-hmm. in countries like China and India. Mm-hmm. You know, and people ask themselves, these countries are becoming more, having more money, and they're moving into the cities. We have also read articles where in Russia, for instance, people are moving from the countryside into the cities mm-hmm. In China too. And so we see that this need for growing crops, growing food. We know that the best alternative, and Bible does give us the best diet, which is God's diet, and we find in Genesis, you know, the fruit and the nuts and legumes and grains. After sin, God added vegetables to be acting as a protective for the new environment that came in after sin entered. And we know that meat was allowed after the flood because vegetation was destroyed, only for temporary. And even then God specified that you have to remove the blood and the fat, Paul. We know that those are
two things that add the flavor.
Exactly. And anyone who have tried eating meat according to the health law, it just becomes a muscle and you can't really eat it. It's not very...
It's tasteless.
Tasteless. And so God says to his people, turn back to the original diet. And, you know, not only would it be healthy and we'll cut all the health costs, they don't know what to do with the health costs now, but also the planet would be much better sustained.
Mm-hmm. But there's something else interesting that was reported earlier this year as well, that early in January it was reported that China is looking to purchase large tracts of land in areas like Australia and Africa for grain production, you know, for farming purposes. And it's not so much that they need to increase the human consumption of food that they require, but they're moving towards a more of a Western-based diet, an inefficient diet, an inefficient use of land, because they need the extra land production, the grain production, to feed the animals, because they're increasing their animal consumption, which we know that, you know, it takes a lot more grain to produce a meat-based diet than it does to sustain a population on a grain-based diet.
Yeah, and we see what the consequence will be. That right now China is at the bottom of some of the diseases, Western world diseases like heart attack and cardiovascular and cancers. Mm-hmm. Even Japan, who has increased their meat consumption, we see that prostate cancer is becoming very prominent now in Japan, which just 30 years ago was unheard of. You had to actually look it up in dictionary to find out in Japan what was prostate cancer. And we're seeing more and more now since the last 20 years in Japan. And I thought it was interesting that the Bible does speak about environment issue, Paul, in the last days. We find that again in Revelation 11:18, it says, the nations were angry and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that it should be judged, that thou should give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. Mm-hmm. And here he says he was going to judge, and he links it with destroy them that destroy the earth. You know, when you look at the thing, mankind is capable of destroying this earth with various things, whether it's chemical, biological, or nuclear, that they haven't had that in the past.
Yeah. But it's interesting, too, that just in preparation for the program, you were talking about a speaker that was here on campus, too, that was giving a sort of a time frame that, you know, we could only sustain this planet for so long. Could you speak to that for a minute?
Yes, there was a fellow who came from Indiana University. He gave a guest lecture talk last year. And he was looking basically of sustaining ourselves. What are the different, you know, methods? And he said, you know, he gave a time frame about 50 years. He said, whether you look at the, number of people who are being added to this planet, whether the food consumption or how we can sustain it. And he was going through different factors and saying, you know, even if we do our best to stop things and change things, things will propagate, and 50 years, he said, we wouldn't be able to sustain ourselves.
Simply all because we're poor stewards of the planet that we're entrusted with.
And Genesis talks about that, how initially Adam and Eve and the offspring was given to be, you know, to be stewards of that thing that God gave us.
That's powerful. Well, what else has been in the news, Mario, that you want to discuss?
Well, I think, the Bible in Revelation 11 speaks about that in the end of time, there's going to be an issue about worship. Worshiping the true God or worshiping someone else. And I think when it comes to religion, there is a lot of things that's happening the last few months. Especially, I think, it's been galvanized with the Pope's visit to UK that took place September 16th to 19th of 2010. Here's a short segment from BBC.
The Queen of England has officially invited Pope Benedict XVI to the UK. Elizabeth II will receive the Pope in the Palace of Holyrood House in Edinburgh, the official residence of the former Queen, who was Catholic, Marie Stuart. This will be the first state visit by a Pope to the UK and will take place from September 16th through the 19th. During the Pope's visit, he will beatify Cardinal John Henry Newman at the Coventry Airport. He will also visit the Archbishop of Canterbury, who's the leader of the Anglican Church, where he'll meet with some of Great Britain's civil authorities.
I don't think people realize the consequences and why that meeting took place when he visited the Queen and also spoke to the upper and lower parliament in at the Lord's in London, and also he canonized one of the saints, which is interesting to see all this coming together. And right after that, a few weeks later, then it was announced that the wedding was going to take place.
Right, that seemed to come up quickly.
Very interesting, because they've been dating for 8 years, and I just thought it was interesting time setting that after the Pope went to see the Queen, about a few weeks later, that was announced that the wedding is going to take place, of course, in April.
On Friday, April 29th.
The Queen is supposed to be defender of the faith, the Protestant bastion that grew out of the during the Reformation, and here we see that the Queen is bowing down to back to Rome, which is unheard of. Mm. Now, last time there was a Pope that visited in this capacity England, you know what year it was, Paul?
What was that?
1340.
It's been that long.
That's long, right? There's been, John Paul II visited as a religious leader. Pope Benedict came in a capacity as a political figure.
And it's interesting, too, that whether it's a queen or whether it's the wife of a national leader, whenever they visit the Pope, they're dressed in black.
Yes.
And they're veiled.
They're veiled. It's a very, you won't miss it. And it's not just Protestant, anyone who comes from Far East. Everyone had to put that submission. The women had to put this dark covering to show that who is really the pure one and who is in charge.
They're very symbolic, but very powerful.
Oh, it is. Yes. And it's interesting when we're talking about Pope making statements after his visit to UK in September of 2010. In October of the same year, Pope Benedict changed his crest. The crest, the papal crest that he had developed in 2005. And one of the symbols there was a turban. Now that was changed to a tiara, which is a royal symbol. And so the Pope is saying now that put on a garb of a geopolitical figure and that he's going to be the next leader for the entire world. So I think it's very interesting what we see, the symbolism that the papacy is displaying now with the change of coat of arms.
That's powerful.
And also I should say that it's interesting that it wasn't just the visit last year to England. He's going to have, a historical meeting, a visit to Germany, his own home country. But he's going there in September of 2011. And, that's another Protestant bastion country that he's visiting. And it's almost like he's reclaiming that which was lost for that time span of 1,260 years.
Well, it's interesting too, because going back to his homeland, Germany, almost that sense of revoking the Reformation, which was very much rooted in that area, with Martin Luther and the work that he engaged in as part of the Reformation.
And we've seen lately how many of the so-called Protestant churches have been going back to Rome, whether the Anglican community or even the other ones who have signed various dialogue or treaties with Rome, Methodist, even you can go down the list, all of them. There's hardly anyone that's left to be a protesting, which the initial founders of these different denominations were very prominent Bible student and using Daniel and Daniel 7 and pointing exactly who the Antichrist was. And they were protesting and leading people back to the Word of God and back to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, rather than, and they could identify very clearly from the scripture. But these now have lost the sense of their
They've lost their roots.
They've lost their roots.
Yeah, they've lost where they've come from.
Yes, and we can see how easily they're going back to the persecuting power that was, back then. But we know it doesn't change. We just read that last week in Revelation 17, how it was and is coming back. So the wound is going to be healed. Its power that it had during the Dark Ages is going to be restored. And it's just waiting for its time. So it's waiting for it to get the upper hand.
And there's so many events that could, quickly trigger that waterfall effect. Whether it's political instability in the world, or financial instability. The nations of the world, in significant debt. There's so easy for the world to fall into a state like a recession worse than what we've encountered over the past couple of years that could just be a cascading effect.
And I think, we saw that in September 11th of 2001 when that happened. It was a galvanizing. The churches, the mosques, everything was full of people going back to wondering what's happening, And so it doesn't take long before we see all these different faiths coming together.
And it's interesting.
And a common denominator, you know, it's always something that we talked about before.
Interesting you mentioned that too, because in our last program too, we spoke about how in Egypt and these countries that are going through this, you know, revolutionary process, mm-hmm. they're saying, you know, we need a new constitution. You know, the day is coming that, well, it's in the winds already that we'll hear the same thing out of the United States. Because he shared an interesting quote too from Abraham Lincoln about the Constitution. Maybe you want to share that?
Well, he just said basically that if you change or destroy the American Constitution, you know, you are giving up your freedom.
Mm-hmm.
That will happen, you know.
Yeah. And the thing that's interesting is that the one primary area that will be under attack is the separation of church and state. Because that's enshrined within the American Constitution, but that's one of the walls that has to fall, you know, for the, you know, the world government process to fall into place.
And we find in Revelation 13, it talks about an image, mm-hmm. how America makes an image, the first beast, which we know is papacy, and what characterizes an image here is that papacy is a state church.
Yeah, it's religious and it's political.
Exactly. And we can see that America, who was supposed to be separate church and state, are going to create that image. An image is likeness of something else.
Mm-hmm.
That they're going to enforce that. And as soon as the church and state comes together, there's always the minority groups that are going to be persecuted. It's always mm-hmm. been the history. And the religious liberty, so to speak, will not be allowed to, you know, it would be a design, so if you don't fall in with the mold, you don't go along with the common denominator, you'd be ostracized. Yeah.
Because people will sacrifice their liberty for security.
Yes, and I think we discussed that before,
yeah,
too.
And there's so many issues that, you know, apparently jeopardize, you know, people's security nowadays that, you know, they'll say, well, if that means that I'll be more secure, I'll give up my liberty.
And I think it's interesting too to see that this Pope has been very bold in making statements like God was behind the Big Bang, universe was no accident. He's trying to merge an evolution and a theistic view, which is wrong. The Bible makes it very clear that God created things in 6 days and rested on the Sabbath day. And you can go through the Bible, Jesus, the early disciples, the early church, all taught and propagated a literal creation of a 6 days. Mm-hmm. And we can see here that he is changing times and laws that Daniel 7:25 mm-hmm. talks about, not just the law of God. We know that he changed the seventh day Sabbath, Saturday, to first day Sunday, but also natural laws that God had said, I created things, and now he's changing and said, you know, they took millions of years on natural selection. You have to ask yourself, what about Jesus? Because he was the creator. He always pointed back to the Genesis 1 and 2 as a literal. And also, where does it put the cross then?
The Bible talks about him that he thinks to change times and laws.
Yes, he can change.
We can think that we can change anything. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to, you know, God's standard, God's law, his word, we can think all we want, but we can't change it.
Yes, it's actually Bible teaches that it's a transcript of his character.
Right, yeah.
And the universe is governed by these the Ten Commandments.
And the fact that Christ went to the cross proved that you can't change the law.
Yes, otherwise there was no need for the cross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible defined this sin is that there's transgression of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for Christ to come and die on the cross, the law would have to still be binding.
Yeah.
And he said he came to fulfill it, to live it out.
Right. What else have you come across in the news, Mario, lately?
Well, I think since you're still with the Catholic Church, now they're going to introduce something to create, get all the audience excited. Vatican has teamed up now with Discovery to make series on demon exorcism. I mean, we talked about spirituals before, about Harry Potter and other things that we've seen in the media. But now it says real-life exorcism conducted by the Catholic Church will be reenacted in a new TV series.
Like a reality TV.
Yes, and it's a 10-part series to be aired on Discovery, but I'm sure little by little it will be propagated to the other channels. And it will delve into the Vatican's files and show interviews with top exorcists from the Church who until now had rarely been seen on television. And this is what this fellow Discovery said. When I heard the pitch, I just knew I had to show this show because the stories are fascinating and timely.
and the excess is unprecedented, said Clark Bunting, Discovery's president and general manager. It will raise a lot of questions. And I thought that's interesting because in Revelation 17:24, it talks about that the whole world is deceived by its sorcery. Spirituals are coming on the main vogue now, and how better to for the Vatican to suppose use base it on miracle and miracles and natural events rather than what the Word of God says. Mm-hmm. And he says, but the deception will come through these miracles and signs and wonders.
Yeah. And it's commonplace, Mario, in so many facets of life, within the entertainment industry. You know, we're talking about, you know, the recent, the Oscars and, mm-hmm. The spiritualistic, approach and the mindset that's involved in that, in all levels of media, whether it's for young or old, it's pervasive everywhere.
Well, I think it's becoming like we know that John Paul II is supposed to be beatified on May 1st. Interesting, just a day after the big wedding in England. He's going to be beatified, and guess what? Now you can apparently get John Paul II blood and attach a little relic so you can worship his blood. Apparently when he was sick, they took a number of vials from him, and they now are taking these blood that drops that you can actually get and you can venerate the blood of John Paul II. I mean, I think when you hear these things, whether they're marching up the relics or whatever, you think we're back in the Dark Ages. We're living in this sophisticated society. Mm-hmm. But it just shows that these things that were back then are coming in vogue now. Mm. And I think we're going to see much more things when it comes to religious and political things happening in our world, mm-hmm. that we should keep our eyes open, because the Bible is being right on target.
And no matter how steeped it is in tradition, you know, God says, you make void my laws because of your tradition.
Oh, that's what Jesus said, you know. They were teaching traditions of men rather than the truth from God's word.
Yeah. And it's just as prevalent or more prevalent now. But God said, my word is clear and my word is without end and it's unchangeable.
Yeah. And what is the day that will galvanize all the world's religion, Paul? There's one day that they all keep in common, really. People don't realize it's Sunday because it's the day of the sun. Mm. All the pagan countries, whether it's, the Far East or whatever, their veneration always been the sun. And with the Pope emphasizing Sunday, they might call Lord's Day whatever, but it's not biblical. We know there's only one day that Jesus is the Lord of, and that's the Sabbath that he instituted. And the fourth commandment stipulates who the lawgiver is, his territory, and his authority.
Yeah. Our time's getting really short here, Mario, but there's something else that comes to my mind when you talk about the day that brings everybody together, Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. When you look at the countries that are in revolt right now, many of them, Sunday is not even part of the weekend. They keep what is actually the biblical weekend, which would be the day of preparation, which is Friday, and the Sabbath, which is Saturday, the seventh day of the week. So it's the Friday-Saturday combination, whereas our weekend is the Saturday and Sunday, the biblical Sabbath followed by the Sunday. So it's interesting to see what changes are going to take place there so that their work week no longer is from Sunday to Thursday, but that the Sunday will actually become a day of rest.
Yes, and I think we're moving towards, even in Israel, of all places, there have already been propagations for keeping Sunday as a day of rest alongside with the Sabbath. But it's interesting to see that even changes are coming in Israel. About that, and I think we can see that it says the mark of the beast, its mark, its authority, and papacy is very clear in many of its writing. It says our mark is Sunday, because they said you can search the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you won't find any changes. So they're honest about it, say, but we have the authority to change it. So they're actually telling the Protestant that you're following us. You say you claim you're following the Bible. Are you truly following the Bible, really?
Yeah. Well, Mario, our time has come to an end. Time flies.
Yes.
But for those of you who are listening, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to contact us at radioreflection@yahoo.ca. That's radioreflection@yahoo.ca. Please stay tuned for the second half hour of our program.
Broadcasting from the campus of Memorial University in St. John's, this is Mun Radio 93.5 CHMR-FM.